We're doing Rabbi Yonah Pirkei Avot. We're up to the fourth chapter, the 20th Mishnah. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. We know Elisha ben Avuya. He's the one that's got the nickname, the unfortunate nickname of Acher. He was a big rabbi who ultimately stopped being observant. And here we have a Mishnah that quotes him. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Halomed yeled lemao domeh. Someone who teaches a child, what's he similar to? Lidioch etuval niyar chadash. Ink that's written on new paper. Mm-hmm. And you teach an older person, what's that similar to? Lidio chituva al niyar machuk. To ink that's written on erased paper. You have paper that had writing on it, you erase it, and now you're going to write again. That's a little bit harder, it's a little bit less clear. So that's what he's saying. You teach someone older, it doesn't go as well. So, explains Rabbeinu Yonah. This is Elisha ben Avuya. Lema hu dome lidiyo ktuva al niyar chadash, ki en haktuva niyar chadash yichola limchok. Kach tura shebiyaldutu lo tishtakach milibo. Elisha ben Avuya says, when you write on fresh paper, you can't really erase it. It'll always remain on some level. And the same is true when you teach someone something as a child, it will always be a part of him. The greatest gift you can give your children is to give them a Torah education. Give them that beautiful, innocent education. It becomes a part of them. It forms their neshama. It is always a part of them. It's interesting that... We went to school in a school where all our rabbeim were Hasidim, and they were not too fond of the state of Israel. They were fond of the people of Israel. They were not fond of the state. And when we had emigrated to the United States, so we went to the school, and there were a bunch of Israeli families, and many of the Israelis that came sent to different schools, some sent to that school. And many of the Israelis would wear on Yom HaTzmaut a white shirt, holiday clothing in honor of Yom HaTzmaut. And they would try to egg on our Hasidish Rebbeim that Yom HaTzmaut today. They would purposely go by the Rebbe and say good Yom Tiv. This was like a game. I was one of the Israelis, but there were a group of us in the school. And on Yom HaTzmaut, it was a game to see if we can get a speech, a fiery speech out of the Rebbe about Yom HaTzmaut and the state. A number of years ago, I met one of those Israelis who was in school with us. And we got to talking about Yom HaTzmaut and the state. And he said to me, you know, it's interesting. I was the biggest one to wear a white shirt and holiday clothing and... I got the most speeches in my class. We weren't in the same grade. We weren't in the same class. He said, I got the most speeches, and I always was careful to wear my Yom Tov clothing for Yom HaTzmaut. But you know what? Till today, the speeches the Rebbe gave sit in my heart, and I can no longer look at the state as a positive thing. He says, I was fighting them, but what they said penetrated me. Until today, I cannot look at the state as a positive thing, the state of Israel. So hopefully it shocked me.
Thing,
what?
Hopefully it's a mixed thing, not totally negative.
Yeah.
Went to Satmar.
No. It's a regular, Aguda school. He's still in the United States, yeah. he sends his kids to Zionistic schools, but it shocked me because I never got those fiery speeches. I was in a class where things were much calmer, but he was in a class that did. And I always thought about it like he'd always encourage us. He was older than us. Wear your Yom Tov clothing. It's Yom Tov. And throughout elementary school, all you could see was how he was Zionistic. Mm-hmm. And now I meet him. The guy's over 40 years old. And he tells me, you know, I can't get it out of me. And somehow they were able to put it in me that the state has done some pretty terrible things. And I can't get it out of me. That's the way I see the state. So it shocked me. Says Elisha ben Avuya, you teach a kid something, it's like writing on fresh paper. What you learn as a kid, you can't erase. It's a part of your heart. You teach Torah to an older person, that's like diok tuval niyam machuk, that's like writing on paper that's already erased. Shemeha nifsedet aktivai, that's writing that can be erased more easily. What you learn as you're older can be forgotten more easily. And one of the nicest allegories they say for this is, you teach a child, so they say it's like engraving in stone. And you teach an older person, that's like engraving in sand. So as a person gets older, a person might say, okay, I'm a shriveled up old tree. Torah's not going to last in me. You might say that. Don't say that. Why should I work for nothing? He says, you're getting wages for it. You're learning Torah. Whether you can retain more or less, you're doing what's right. And you're doing a mitzvah every time you learn. He says, if you can't retain, you're still going to get reward for it. In heaven, you have a mitzvah to learn. You're learning, you're doing your mitzvah. You can retain more, so retain more. You can retain less, you'll retain less. What difference does that make? Your job is to do the mitzvah, and you're doing the mitzvah. Here is the famous mashal that Rav Soloveitchik loved to quote. A merchant hires two workers, and he gives them each a basket that has holes, and he says, I want you to draw water with this basket. He says, all day long, I want you to draw water for me with this basket. The foolish worker says, hey, my basket's got a hole in it. Why should I work all day with a basket with a hole? He leaves the job. He doesn't get a paycheck at the end of the day. The smart worker says, umali asachar iteni. He says, what do I care? He hired me for a day's work. I'm working. I'm going to work all day and he's going to pay me at the end of the day. He gave me lousy tools to work with. I'm going to get less water than he expected by the end of the day. What's it my fault? That's why a person says, I don't remember everything I learned. Other people have a photographic memory. I don't. So why should I learn Torah? What does that mean? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you're going to get paid. You're like the worker. You were hired to work. Whether you can accomplish more or less, that's God's responsibility. Some things are not my fault. They're going to pay you for it. Whether you accomplish more or less, so long as your intent is for heaven and you do your best. This is a very important rule. This is a rule in all of our avodat Hashem. When we do mitzvot, sometimes you have to say, I'm doing my best, and if I can't do more, that's God's fault. God doesn't expect me to do more than I can. Some people have more capacity, some people have less. Some people have more time, some people have less. Some people have more skills, some people have less. But if I'm doing the best I can, so that's it. I'm going to get the most wages for it. This is very calming. We sometimes think I have to accomplish, I have to finish Shas, I have to memorize Shas. If you're capable, do it. You can't cut yourself short. But you have to remember, you're not responsible for more than you can do. I want to add one more point. This mission always discouraged me. Because when I was in yeshiva, at about age 18, 19, one of my rabbeim said to me, learn as much of Shas as you can, because what you remember at 19 is better than what you remember at 22. And what you can remember at 22 is better than what you can remember at 25. And you can't compare what you learn at 25 to what you learn at 30, and what you learn at 30 to what you learn at 35 and 40. Your memory keeps getting worse. What you get as a youngster is what will build you. Try to cover as much as you can in your younger years, because that is, there's no way to make that up. Cover as much of Shas as you can. Okay? So I reached the ripe old age of 30 and 32 and 33, and I figure that's it. I'm an old fogey. How much am I going to accomplish? And then one day, I was walking with Rav Rom, who we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, still visit after Pesach. Rav Ram is a phenomenal Talmud Chacham who lives in Har Nof. And when we visited him last time, we got to see his Shas and Shulchan Aruch, that along the margins, you see, it's all filled with his wonderful notes. And you could talk to him in Shas backwards and forwards, and the Rashi, and the Tosfos, and the man has a handle on Shas. It's amazing to talk to him. What? Oh, so I was walking with him. We used to teach in the same yeshiva. We'd take the same bus and walk together. And I discussed with him learning. I said, what tips can you give me? I see how well you remember the things you learned. And then I said something along the lines of, you probably learned a lot when you were younger. And he says to me, now he's in his 60s or 70s, he says to me, actually, I find that I'm getting better at it. He says, I find that what I learn now, actually, I can sometimes remember better than when I was younger. There are things which right now I see I'm retaining better. And I see that I have I can do things now that I couldn't do when I was younger. So I said, wait a second. What about the Mishnah? Doesn't the Mishnah tell us you can accomplish better when you're younger? He says, yeah, but still. He said, I see that you can still accomplish when you're older. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, well, Rabbi Akiva only started at 40. He learned Aleph Beis at 40, and he became the master of the oral law. So even though the Mishnah teaches us something important, try to get what you can when you're younger, but my approach, which I misapplied what I had learned, and my thought that, okay, I'm an old fogey at age 33, what can I do already? That's also wrong. It's wrong. A person can learn and retain and become a huge Talmid Chacham. The fact that you're giving your kid a great gift because you give him stuff at a younger age, that's nice. When I'm talking to my son about what high school to go to, and I told him, you know, I think that high school where you'll cover a lot of ground will give you a tremendous asset for life. I'm all for that. When I try to encourage my kids to review Mishnayot, to review Tanakh, because then they have it, it's part of them, like we learned now in the Mishnah and Rabbeinu Yonah, it's an asset. But that doesn't mean that if you didn't do that, then at an older age, don't bother, you know, how much are you going to retain? There's an advantage to learning when you're young, but there's tremendous capacity to learn when you're older. We shouldn't, don't make my mistake. Remember, you can. Yes?
It opens up a lot of stuff. Very first question, we learned before, the Elisha and the Boers, it was definitely went the wrong way. But yet they still quote him. I've asked the best, you know, unfortunately today sometimes there are rabbis who are of a great reputation and then we find out there was something, and the tendency is to dismiss everything they've said and done, which seems to be a mistake based on this.
I think with Elisha ben Avuya, Chazal in general, what we see in Talmud is they put a finger on a moment where he lost it. Either the moment he saw the kid climbing a tree to do Shiluach HaKen because his father sent him and then he fell and died. Or the moment he went into Pardes with Rabbi Akiva. Or the moment he saw Rabbi Chutzpita Turgeman's tongue wallowing in the sand after he was tortured to death. Whatever the moment was, Chazal pointed a finger to a moment. Different opinions as to what moment broke him. But there was a moment where he lost it. And that's why Chazal say, till that moment, his Torah was perfect, or very, very good. After that moment, we have the story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that he's riding his horse on Shabbos, and Rabbi Meir is walking behind him, and he says, "Meir, stop! You stop, right? You're it's Tum Shabbos." So,
even though he couldn't buy it, I may be wrong. It's great.
I'm saying, you see, Rabbi Meir continued learning by him. The rabbis didn't agree with Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir continued learning his Torah. Rabbi Meir felt he could distill.
He also was so unusual, right?
It's difficult because that's the story in the Babylonian Talmud. In the Jerusalem Talmud, it says he became an executioner for the Romans and killed Jews. Meaning the Jerusalem Talmud gives us a story that's very vile about the direction Elisha ben Avuya took.
But the question is, that what he said at 20, if that will be expunged,
No. If he had a breaking moment, So then up until that moment, he was a good kosher rabbi.
Basically just emotional and people, you know, all of a sudden now they start burning this guy.
No, that's different than a person who we now find out that for the last 30 years he's been committing adultery. Then we say, then for the last 30 years he's a fake. That's very different.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Unfortunately, someone can have a great insight, but can be a total problem.
If I know now that for the last 30 years the guy's been doing things that are wrong.
We don't, even if the insight, we don't want to go with it. We feel that there might be something suspect. You know, I mean, if somebody, it's hard because the total world is so different than the other world. Somebody found the cure for cancer and he ended up murdering his wife. He wouldn't throw away the cure for cancer. But Torah is different. It's different. It's not, you know, you can't. I don't belabor it just because I had a couple.
It's an important point. On some level, we're all hypocrites. Meaning, there's an element where we all aspire to one thing, yet we're not there. As it says in Rabbi Kiva Eiger. It says it in. We learned it in the Magen Miduvna. We're definitely contending in life with a certain element of hypocrisy within ourselves, that we have an ideal, we believe in it, and we're not yet living up to it. We're not perfect. Yeah, I'm saying it's
good because then you aspire to something.
It's good, but the question is, where do you draw the line? Where do you say the guy's a fake? Meaning, that's a tough question. Because you're always going to find out that the person you looked up to, well, he in certain ways he's greater than what you thought, and in other ways he's not as great as you thought.
The danger of becoming is always a process of becoming this world, and you know, given certain stimuli, certain things, who knows? At least you know what we'll be. We like to think that you know, no matter how I was tested or whatever, we don't know. I mean, you know, Rabbi Akiva says, right? I didn't know until the day I would die if I could love Hashem with all my life. All of a sudden, tomorrow, you know, someone, you know, wakes up even on an exalted level, and all of a sudden, you know, my wife doesn't do it, and this person does, and I'm alone in this room, and I'm away, and pray that you not get in that situation. But so, it's hard. But I wanted to just say a couple of things I want to belabor this, because there were two couple of things that you touched on that I think were important. One, the guy with the hole in the bag. He has an obligation, I would think, first of all, to tell his boss, hey, this has a hole.
Right, but he can't access his boss.
Right, no, I mean, then you just do it. But the same thing is, when you start out at 60, you don't go to a Shiur of Zohar in Aramaic or Hebrew.
Granted.
You start out at a level where you can get it, hopefully, and, you know, and you have to do some initiative thing. And the other thing, you know, it reminds me also that, you know, when you're older, just like a kid has, you know, this beautiful, you know, foundation, if he has a Torah, when you're older, you have foundations, you like to get rid of some of it, and that's always there with the crumb. You're always kind of, you know, well, that doesn't make sense. And, you know, you have a different kind of Yitzhak. It reminds me of Rabbi Zera, when he prayed to forget everything that he knew. There's a certain ability of starting clean and forgetting everything when you learn a different type of thing. You can try to train yourself to do that, I think it's helpful and, you know, never quit. But it was just a few things. It really is a powerful, you know, thing.
Yes.
I also want to mention a few things on this. Number one is, I think the difference between Mishnah and I guess the way you took it, maybe you can say that the Mishnah is referring to, like, the children are more impressionable. Meaning, they can take hear something and implement it way quicker into their lives. An older person. So like once you've heard stuff, you've heard stuff many times. Right? That could be one differentiation. Another thing I wanted to mention is that people, I think there's like a stereotype. It can also be the fact that, you know, once you're older, that could also be, it's a stereotype, which is not necessarily true, and it can also apply to the secular world. Because, first of all, every time you hear, people hear entrepreneurs, right, they think of people who are 20 years old, maybe they bought this, they did that. But actually now, I think statistically, there are more entrepreneurs who are like 50 and 60, because a lot of them have been forced out of retirement, and no one's going to hire them anymore, so what do? They sold businesses, and you know, these people are successful, and it doesn't really make a difference at the age. People have this image in their head, and once they're older, it's time for the, you know, and it could be that they feel like that. They feel it's time to, you know, rest or whatever.
Think of a little person. As a rule, the 20-year-old is going to be retaining more, has more energy. You start to slow down. May not be it. 40 always, but at 60, 65, 70, you can be the exception, and you can still do great. Some things you can take things with a grain of salt, not be more emotional, and plug away the tortoise and the hare, but you're not the hare. No. Generally, you won't absorb huge, I think. I mean, from my experience of people I know, my Bruce's, and, you know, people that are ages, it's different. It's unbalanced.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying
I think a lot of what we learn is that you always have exceptions. It's important. Maybe, you know, a little oriental excess, but, you know, they talk in a little bit of, you know, what's generally the rule. There's certainly, you know, if we ended up throwing out everything because of the exception, we had nothing. I still thought I said, don't make graven images, make sure, you know, I mean, we did the things.
No, that was just one last thing. Basically, that what you were saying about basically that someone, you know, don't just because you don't, you know, you're on the photographic memory, etc. Right? So again, I think this is also something that we can actually look around us and see if it's true. That whenever you hear like these, you know, like stories of a person who, you know, wasn't doing well, and then he did this, and then you're only successful. I'm actually like on LinkedIn, like, you know, in LinkedIn, right? It's like this resume thing. Like there's always people posting like these, like there's a picture of like an iceberg, and like on the top it shows like success, but like underneath there's a failure or this, that, and so even if a person in the beginning doesn't, you know, he doesn't have this photograph, he doesn't have this ability to retain information, you know, as you, the story said about that Rawa, he was able to turn pages and, you know, memorize entire pages. But at the same time, you know, it starts, if you're a normal person, it starts from somewhere. You build up from there, and you keep trying. If you don't try, you're never going to get anywhere.
Agreed.